In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Congratulations. Many happy returns to everyone for the beginning of the blessed Coptic year. We are in 1733 a.m. Anybody know what a.m. stands for? It's not morning. It's not the morning. A.M. is Anno Martyrum, which means the Coptic year, or it means the year of the martyrs. So the Coptic year, or the Coptic calendar, is based on the year of the martyrs. And it starts in 287, which was the year Diocletian, who was like the most ruthless emperor, started to persecute the Christians in Egypt and across his kingdom. And it's interesting how the church chose the beginning of his life to start the calendar and not the end of his life, as if this is something to be hailed and exalted. And something we all take pride in is the martyrdom of our forefathers who have kept the faith and sacrificed their lives to give us this precious faith that we have today. The saints in our church are highly regarded. They're regarded, we make them feast days for them, and we do venerations and praise for them. We take blessings from their relics, and so on. However, this notion of honoring the saints and venerating them is highly questioned in the West and in our current society. So I'd like to speak a little bit today about who are the saints, what is their relation with us, and why we honor and venerate and praise them. And is this something that is biblically sound, or is this something that we kind of, the church made up on its own? Question number one is, who are the saints? You know, in the in Arabic, a saint is Qaddis, right? Comes from the word meaning holy. And the same is for Greek. In Greek, the name for the saint is Hagios, coming from Ageios, which is holy. So a saint is someone who is holy. However, if we look in Leviticus chapter 11, we understand that the only true saint, or the only true holy one, is God himself. He is the one who is the source of all holiness, and he is the only one who is undefiled or uncorruptible by sin. We see it says what? For I am the Lord your God, you shall name yourselves holy and keep yourselves holy because I am holy. So God instructed his people, us, to keep ourselves holy and to call ourselves holy, not because of ourselves, but why? Because he is holy. So as believers, we are made holy only when we participate in the life and holiness of God. And in the New Testament, this is made through our union and communion in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, he says, now therefore, you who are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So we are fellow citizens and members of the household of God. These are the saints. You know, if you look in Scripture, you'll find the word saints occurring many times. And in the time and age of the apostles, the word saint was referred to all of the believers because this was the expectation. And to be honest with you, those who converted from Judaism to Christianity were saints. Why? Because they were willing to die for the name of Christ. Anybody who became a Christian in the early era knew that there was a death sentence for them. So when they simply became Christian, they were these witnesses, they were these holy ones who said, I'm willing to take the cross and follow the Lord Jesus even to Golgotha and risk my life for him. So they called them saints. But as the church grew and the age of persecution, or the era of persecution, came to a rest, the term saint took on a new form. It was reserved for those believers who lived exemplary lives. Listen to what St. John of Damascus says in the 7th century. He says, God's saints reigned over and mastered their passions and kept uninjured the likeness unto the image of God, according to which they were created. They of their own free will united themselves with God and received him unto the habitation of their heart, and having thus received him in communion through grace, they became in their very nature like unto him. So he speaks here of those who have kept uninjured the likeness and image that God has created us in. But it's interesting to note here that he says the ones who have kept this. And if we notice in our church, we don't declare anyone a saint until at least 50 years after they have departed. So the saints in the modern era are those who have lived, who have completed their life. And why do we wait until after their departure? Because this is what St. Paul instructed us in Hebrews 13. He told us what? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Consider the outcome of their life. We can't consider the outcome of somebody's life until after they departed. Right? This not the end has not come for them. Unfortunately, there are many people who might live righteous in the beginning and then fall off at the end. And also, we honor them after their departure because of what the Lord says. He says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So we honor and revere those saints who have kept the faith and kept them holy and unspotted until their last breath. So we can look at their whole life and say, yes, this is an example for us to emulate. So how do the saints relate to us? What happens to the saints after their departure? Do they die and just go to heaven and are enjoying God's presence between them and God alone? Are they even aware of us, or do they care about us? Are they even concerned about us? Most certainly they are alive, simply because of what the Lord Christ said to Mary and Martha when they asked about Lazarus. He answered them and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he continues and says something very important. He says, he who believes in me, though he may die, shall what? Shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So certainly the saints who have departed from this world or from the body are alive and well. They are alive. But maybe the answer to the question of how the saints relate to us is our Orthodox understanding of what the church is. We believe that the church is essentially unity with one another in the body of Christ, or in Christ. We are many members in the body of Christ himself. Not some, imaginary or fantasy way, but in real members, blood and blood, or body and bones and flesh of his flesh. The church, because it is the body of Christ, will always be incorruptible and complete. Despite it being scattered in many geographical areas, despite it being persecuted to death, and despite resistance in its teaching, the church will always be complete, holy, and incorruptible. And also because of our unity with the head, Christ, the church itself is also above the natural world. All of us are gathered here together to partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in real fellowship. But what earthly material are we partaking of? Bread and wine. And we believe that this is mystically converted and changed into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something heavenly, not earthly. That's why the earthly don't understand it when we say we're going to partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another characteristic of the church is its all-timeness. What do I mean by this? Is that the church is the same 1,000 years ago, today, and will be the same 1,000 years in the future. The late Father George Filoskry, who was one of the Russian fathers, explained it like this. Believers of all ages and all generations who are alive now, who lived and who will be born belong to it in the same way. So all of our forefathers and us and all who will come after us, our children, belong to the church in the same way that you and I belong to the church now. We are united with Christ here and today when we partake of his body and his blood. The saints who have beat us to heaven are united with the body of Christ in paradise. And those who will come after us will also be united with him through his body and blood. Christ reigns equally among the living and the dead. Remember when he was asked about who he was, the Lord said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So we consider those who have departed before us as still alive. They are alive and well. God cannot be associated with death because he is the source of life and the life giver. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared on Mount Tabor on the day of the Transfiguration, who appeared with him? Moses and Elijah. Both were from the Old Testament. Did they appear as dead men? No, they appeared as alive and well. So nobody associated with the body of Christ can be associated with death. The saints are also not only alive, but they're also highly favored with God. They're highly favored with God. God extends his mercy to his people, to you and I, for the sake of his saints. He extends his mercy to us because of the righteousness of the saints. And you know what? Sometimes even without prayer. In 1 Kings chapter 11, it speaks of how God showed favor to the people of Israel because of his servant David. He says, "Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David." He was speaking here about son Solomon. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, when they split the kingdom, he said he won't do this at the time of Solomon because of his father David. So if God highly favors his saints, a saint like David, how much will he highly favor the prayers of someone like Saint Mary, or someone like Saint John the Baptist, or someone like Daniel, who the Bible doesn't record any fault for him? Certainly, the prayers of these saints are very valuable to us. And not only does God highly favor his saints, but he also associates himself with his saints. He wants to call himself after his saints. At the time of the burning bush, when he saw Moses, Moses asked him who he was, and God identified himself and said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." All three of these men were dead. All of these three men were favored by God, and God says, "I am their God." So God is associating himself with his saints. He's naming himself by his saints. Typically, when we name somebody, we name the person who is higher, and we name the lower after them. You know, here in the West, we have the customary, if you name somebody by your name, they take the name Junior. You know what this is like? This is like reverse, making the older the junior, and when my child will be senior, James Senior. It doesn't make much sense to us, but this is how God loves his saints and favors them. And he also honors them. He honors them not only by allowing miracles to be performed by them, but he honors their relics even after they die. If you remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 13, where the bones of Elijah raised a dead man. His bones raised a dead man. So God here is giving honor to the bones of a departed prophet. So when someone asks you, why is it that you venerate the relics of a saint? Because God did the same thing. And if God did it, we're going to imitate what God did and honor and venerate the relics of the saints. And these are the relics here on earth. How about their souls and spirits which are in heaven that are praying on our behalf? Certainly these would be valuable to God. We are one body. Just as you as parents pray for your children day and night, our parents and our brothers and sisters in heaven pray for us. The saints are alive and favored. But what does that have to do with you and I? What does that have to do with us? Are they concerned about us? Do they care about us? Do they even see us? Remember when the Lord was speaking to the people about repentance, and he spoke to them, and he told them that there is more joy. He says in Luke 15, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So where is the joy coming from somebody who repents? Their parents? Maybe. Their friends? I hope. But he says in heaven. So all of the hosts in heaven are happy when you and I enter into the room with Abuna and say a confession. And if all of the heavens are happy, what do you think about Abuna? Is he happy or is he upset? He's going to be happy. This is the most happy time of Abuna's life is when one of his children come and confess. And if you remembered when we spoke last week about the rich man and Lazarus, how Abraham knew the suffering that Lazarus was going through, and he saw him. And when he took him, and when Lazarus departed, he took him in his bosom, just as a father would take his son or daughter in their bosom in a time of trouble or suffering. So, why do we honor the saints? We honor them simply because God honors them. Because God shows them favor and highly regards them. So as God does, his people do. As the head does, the body does. We also honor them because out of gratitude, because they deliver to us the most precious faith that we have until today. We look around us at the many different religions and many different Christian denominations, and they don't have the history and the depth, and they didn't hold the faith like our church, the Orthodox Church, did. We are indebted to them, and they're worthy of our honor and praise and reverence. And lastly, we honor the saints because we recall their manner of life and try to emulate it. When we think of maybe, I want to be a more generous person, we look and see the icon of Saint Amba Abraham and how he used to give to the poor liberally. We look at a saint like Saint Arsenios, who loved to pray, right? And we look at any of the saints, they have certain qualities that when we look at them, we look at them and we say, I want to be like this man. We look at Saint Simon the Tanner, in the back of the church there. Wasn't a priest, wasn't clergy, wasn't anybody. Very simple, but loved God with all of his heart and tried to obey the commandments to a T. And because of his righteousness and simplicity, we can learn from that. I need to be maybe a little bit more, a person who's a little bit more simple. Don't ma'ad everything. Don't look too deep in everything. Take things kida very lightly. The problem is, these days, we honor and venerate those who compose music, those who are actors, and those who flung themselves in ways that are inappropriate. And we hang them up in our rooms and say, these are the people I want to be after. Because so-and-so dresses like this, I want to be like this. Because so-and-so believes this, I want to believe the same. As parents in our homes, we need to put as role models for our children the stories of the saints. That's why it's extremely important when they're young to read the stories of the saints to them. Let them watch the movies of the saints. Surround them in the atmosphere of a saint, and they will become saints. But if we say, oh, their friends are doing this and everybody else is doing that, why not? Then we put for them that these people are okay to emulate. So when they begin to emulate them and we have a problem with it, we blame ourselves, right? We surrounded them rather than the cloud of witnesses, we surrounded them with the cloud of entertainers. This is why we are declining and becoming more corrupt as a nation, unfortunately. Our role models have shifted. Our church honors and reveres the saints. And today, as we celebrate the new year by its martyrs and its saints, and this is something that gives us great joy, let us rejoice in their life and emulate them. Let us share their stories in our homes and let them be an example for us to follow, that we might be worthy of sharing with them in the kingdom of heaven when we join them by God's grace and favor, or Christ the Lord comes in his second coming. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.